This morning I want to look with you for a few minutes into Philippians. Look at Philippians and see a few of those who were faithful warriors in God's army. And here's some of the encouragement that Paul gives to the church at Philippi. In Philippians, we're going to look at parts of the first three chapters and just get an idea of what exactly Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and see where, first of all, Paul encourages the Christians at Philippi. We all need encouragement. I mentioned the fact that we all need to take every opportunity to thank those veterans and those who are still serving for their service to this great United States of America. We ought to take every opportunity we can to compliment and encourage anyone we see doing anything productive and doing good. Encourage. We all need encouragement. We need it from one another. It don't matter who you are, what your particular office in society might be, everyone needs some encouragement from time to time. And so Paul starts off encouraging the Christians at Philippi there in chapter 1 of Philippians, beginning in verse 1. He says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, and all to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So Paul is encouraging the believers there at Philippi, telling them how much he loves them. He loves them. He cares about them. He appreciates them and their involvement in this battle, called a spiritual battle that we're in. The Bible tells us that it's not a battle of flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle that we're in as believers. And believe me, Satan has plenty of warriors. He's got plenty of soldiers and they got a lot of ammunition, but they don't have as much as you have if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, because the Bible promises us, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So we don't have to bow down to Satan. There's no need for us to bow down to Satan, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us as believers, and Satan has no authority over us because the Holy Spirit is greater and we're all powerful through Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not in my flesh, I can't do anything. Without him, it's impossible to do anything, actually. And you say, well, I can do a lot. You know, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty strong and all that. Without God, you're not. Because God's the one that gives you that strength. He's the one that gives you the mentality and the ability, and that can be taken away without notice. So don't get built up and boastful of yourself and about who you are within yourself, it's only because of Christ that we can do all things, and without Him we are nothing. And so Paul encourages the believers there at Philippi, lets him know that he really loves them. He cares about them. He prays for them regularly. He loves them enough to pray for them daily, thanking God for them. We ought to pray for those of our fellow believers regularly. We ought to encourage one another and lift one another up as we go through this battle, because it is a battle. It is a spiritual battle, and we're all facing difficult times. And if you're not prepared, then you're going to be sadly disappointed, and you're going to suffer some real damage and hurt. So he encourages them to love more deeply, to grow in their knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of God's righteousness. There he says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Doing those things are Christ-like, that give evidence that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, our life reveals that. You don't have to tell people about your beliefs so much. They can see it. People see by your actions exactly where you are, what your spiritual condition is. And so we need to be doing those things that honor and glorify God. And that's what Paul was encouraging the Christians at Philippi to continue to grow. We all ought to be growing and learning more every day. We ought to be spending time in God's Word, studying God's Word, learning more about God's Word, learning more about how to live our lives in a way that honors Him and pleases Him, and in a way that we can be a more effective witness for Jesus Christ. And we don't do that unless we spend time with Him. We spend time in His Word. We spend time in prayer with Him. So many people never pick up one of these, you know. They might pick up a pew Bible in the church and look at it. Sometimes maybe just to pass time, hoping the preacher will hurry up and shut up, you know, just trying to find something to do because they don't want to listen to the preacher or whatever. But too many people don't read and study God's Word. And if you don't know what God's Word says, it is so easy for you to be misled. If you don't know the rules of the game, then, you know, it's easy to be misled and get somebody to lead you off in the wrong path and get you in trouble. So we need to know, and the Bible tells us how to live our life. It tells us it gives us every answer we need in life. But we don't get it unless we spend time in God's Word and studying. And so Paul's encouraging them not only to love more deeply, but to grow in their knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. We do that in a few ways. We do that studying God's Word. We do that spending time with other believers and being in not forsaking ourselves to the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says coming together and spending time together, sharing with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging one another, praying for one another, and spending time in prayer. And so Paul encourages, first of all, he encourages the Christians at Philippi. Secondly, he reminds us that we will face difficulties. We're going to face some problems. Nobody ever went into a war and didn't expect to face some problems, did you? I mean, if you go into a war, you expect to face the enemy. Well, Satan is the enemy, and he's got plenty of warriors out there, as I mentioned earlier, and he's not afraid to use them. And so we need to be strong and be prepared to face the enemy. A lot of that is in exercise. We got our athletes, all these athletes here today, and they know the importance of training, of preparing themselves to become physically fit. You mean, you know how many times I could make it up and down the basketball court? Probably none. But these guys get out there and they're back and forth up down the basketball court for several minutes without a break a lot of times. You don't do that without some training, without some practice to strengthen yourself. And when we're going into a spiritual battle, we need to train ourselves spiritually and be prepared for those difficult times to be able to be strengthened spiritually to face those battles that we're going to face and to face the enemy. And so as we see with our military, many men and women go off to war. They know it's not a picnic. It's not a vacation. They don't know if they're coming home or not. But they go. And there are a couple of important things that we need to mention here. And one of those is, you're not going to be an effective soldier if you don't believe in what you're fighting for. Okay? If you're in the United States military, you're fighting for the United States. If you're not sold out on the United States, you're not going to be an effective soldier when you go to war. Because you got to be sold. You got to believe in what you're fighting for. Okay? We got to believe in what we're fighting for in this spiritual battle. We need to put our faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. We've got to know that we know that we know that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God's only begotten Son that was born of a virgin. He lived here on this earth for some 33 years, setting an example for you and me to follow. He was falsely accused, tried, and beaten beyond recognition, hanged on a cross where He gave His life. Nobody took it. He gave His life to pay for your sins and mine. But He's not on the cross now. And He's not even in that grave that He was put in when He was taken from the cross. But He was resurrected from the grave. And He's alive and victorious today. And if we don't believe that, and believe that He's able to take care of us and able to protect us when we go into these spiritual battles, then we're not going to be very effective in our witness. We've got to be sold out. We've got to be committed to Jesus Christ and believe that He is, in fact, our Savior. He is the one that's going to take care of us. We've been talking for several weeks about faith. Believing the unbelievable. It's a faith thing, and salvation is a faith thing. Without faith, you cannot be saved. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God's Son that died to pay your sin debt. You have got to believe that if you will confess your sin, that He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That you've got to believe that He is always able and willing to take care of you and to help you in your times of need. And so when you face those difficulties, which we know we're going to face, you know, you go into the ball game, you know it's not going to be an easy thing. You're going to get tired. You've got to be prepared for that. Okay, when we go into battle, in spiritual battle, we understand that it's going to be difficult. We're going to do some suffering. And Paul did a lot of suffering. He did a lot of suffering in his working for the Lord. He suffered more than most of us. And I hope he suffered more than most of us ever will suffer. But Paul suffered. He knew what it was like to suffer. As a matter of fact, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 27, the Bible says, and Paul speaking says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul had experienced it. All the negatives. He had been there and done that. He had been stoned, left for dead. He had been shipwrecked. He had been in prison more. He had a most effective prison ministry. Probably the most effective prison ministry that anyone's ever had, because he was constantly in prison. But when he got in prison, he didn't sit down and shut up. He was leading the other prisoners to faith in Christ. And he knew that if God has allowed me to be in the prison, then he's got a job for me to do here. And my job is to tell people about Jesus. You know, wherever we are, if we are believers, our primary responsibility is to tell other people about Jesus Christ, to try to win the lost, to reach someone else to faith in Jesus Christ. That's our primary mission, our primary goal. That is a primary commandment that we find in the last few verses of Matthew chapter 28, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I've commanded you, Jesus said. And so that's our primary objective. And so wherever we find ourselves, and Paul was super at that, no matter where he was at, he was always telling somebody about Jesus. It didn't matter how dangerous it was. You know, many times we won't say, and I say we because I'm in there. A lot of times I will not speak when I ought to speak. I won't tell somebody about Jesus when I ought to tell them about Jesus, because, you know, the time it just ain't the right time right now. You know, circumstances are not just right. And so we let Satan talk us out of it, and we remain quiet instead of telling people about Jesus Christ. But Paul lets us know here, and he lets the church at Philippi know, that even though he has suffered many difficulties, it has been worth it. It's been worth every bit of it. Our veterans have served in some terrible circumstances, difficult times, and sometimes didn't have the support that they certainly deserve. But in the end, is it worth it? It's worth it in the end. Paul says that although he had suffered all these difficulties, it was worth it because God's kingdom has grown. In verse number 12 there, he says that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So he said, although I've been through some tough times, I'm okay with that because God's kingdom increased. There were people saved because of the things I had to go through, and people saw what I went through, and they saw how he kept the faith through those difficult times, and it was worth it all in the end. And he said, because of the difficulties he faced, others have become more bold in their witness, and the gospel is being preached. And he's not ashamed, because whether he lives or dies, Christ will be magnified. So we we see that there are going to be difficulties. There's going to be some tough times if you're going to serve the Lord. Thirdly, Paul encourages us to be humble, to humble ourselves, to love one another, to put the needs of others ahead of our own needs. Probably one of the hardest things for most people to do, to put others first, you know, because society teaches us that it's, you know, it's all about number one. You take care of number one first. As a matter of fact, how many times have you heard, if you don't take care of number one, ain't nobody else going to take care of you. You got to take care of yourself first. Let everybody else take care of themselves. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says put the needs of that other person first ahead of your own. And you say, well, that's kind of backward. Well, there's a lot of things that God does that we don't understand. But He's got a better plan than we got. You know, the Bible says His thoughts are much higher than ours. His ways are much higher than ours. And what we don't understand a lot of times is God, when we put the needs of others ahead of our own, God will take care of us. He'll take care of our needs. We'll find out that our needs weren't as bad as we thought they were. And sometimes they just disappear and they're non-existent anymore because God's taking care of it. But that's what happens when you put somebody else's needs ahead of your own. Besides that, I want to tell you something. If you'll practice that, you'll get blessings that'll just bless you beyond anything else. I couldn't tell you the number of times I've been to visit a person to try to maybe encourage someone who's sick or down or whatever the problem might be. And I go to be the encourager and I come out as the encouraged. Because the person that I went to encourage winds up encouraging me more than I encouraged them. And I wind up being the one blessed. When we put others ahead of ourselves, God will take care of us. He, in chapter 2, in the first four verses, Paul said, if there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind, being of one accord and agreeing with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Put the needs of others ahead of your own personal needs, and God will bless that. This is God's Word we're talking about. Is God's Word true? Absolutely. And if you will trust Him and believe it and act upon that, you'll begin to find out that God has blessings that you can't even understand, that you can't comprehend. He'll bless you in ways that you could never even believe if you just do what He calls us to do. And He's not asking us to do something that He's not done Himself, right? Paul goes on to say in the next few verses there, just follow the example of Christ. He set the example for us when it comes to looking at the needs of others. He didn't need forgiveness. He never did anything wrong. He never sinned. As long as He lived on this earth, He never committed sin. He didn't need forgiveness of sin. But we did. And He put us ahead of His own needs. In verse 5 and following, He says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus set the example for us. All we need to do is follow his example. He put us first. He was willing to give his life. He was willing to suffer and be beaten and abused and falsely accused and all those things. They spat in his face as well. He was willing to take all that because he loved me and you. Because he was giving us an example of how we need to put the needs of others ahead of our own. Because he didn't have a need for forgiveness, but we certainly have. And he provided for our forgiveness. And so we need to follow that by being humble. Being humbled. And so quickly, because we're about to run out of time here, he mentions a couple of fellow soldiers in God's army. There in the chapter 2 and verse 19 through 24, he talks about Timothy, or Timotheus, he was called, who was a fellow soldier in this spiritual army, who was faithful. And then another one was Epaphroditus, there in verses 25 through 30. And so Paul gives those examples of other soldiers who have been faithful. And then finally, he says, keep pressing forward. Keep on. Don't give up. When things get tough, reach it back and catch another gear and go a little farther. You know, when you just get tired and exhausted, and sometimes you don't think you can go any further, just press on. Push a little farther. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there in chapter 3 of Galatians, or excuse me, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we just need to forget those things that are behind. You know, that's kind of difficult for us a lot of times because Satan will remind you of a lot of those things. You know, talk about how God forgives us, and when he forgives us, when we repent of our sins, and he forgives us, and the Bible says that our sins are cast in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, never be remembered again. So when you have genuinely repented of your sin and ask him to forgive you, he forgives you and he forgets it. So if you were you repented of something, say earlier today, and then you're going to remind him, say, "Oh, geez, you remember, you know, when I did so and so, and you know, I asked you to forgive me for that," and he'd say, "No, I don't remember that, because that was forgiven and forgotten." And you say, "Why can't I forget it?" Because Satan don't want you to forget it. Satan wants you to hang on to that, and Satan will keep reminding you of that thing that you did. Even though you've repented and you've received forgiveness for it, Satan will keep bringing it up and bringing it up. Why does he do that? It's forgiven. God says it's forgiven and forgotten because he wants you to be defeated He don't want you to be victorious. He wants you to be a defeated Christian so that you won't be an effective witness to somebody else. And so, as Paul said, let's press on. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged, but press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. There's a prize that's coming for those who've trusted Jesus Christ. And it's worth any kind of problems that you might face here on this earth. Because it's an eternity to be spent with Jesus Christ in heaven, where there'll be no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain, no more difficulty, no more separation. Nothing negative will ever be experienced in heaven. So the choice is either heaven or hell. You know, hell is a place where there'll be nothing positive. It'll be eternal torment. And so the choice is ours. We can choose Jesus. We can serve in His army. Or we can choose Satan. He'll be glad to have us in His army. Okay? He's always wanting more warriors. And He's working His warriors all the time to try to discourage you and to keep you from being an effective Christian. Are you in the Lord's army? If you're not, God wants you in His army. It's simple. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. God, I realize I'm a sinner and I need salvation. I need forgiveness. And I know that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He died to pay for my sins. My sins are paid for. I repent of my sins, and I invite Jesus Christ to come live in my heart. And from this day forward, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to be in His army. No matter how difficult it gets, I'm going to serve Him and enjoy the blessings along the way. What about it for you? Father, we love You and thank You. Thank You for all of our veterans. Lord, we thank You for their faithful service. Lord, many years are represented here today. Men and women who have served faithfully, serving this great country. God, there are also many years of faithful service for those that are serving in Your army, the Lord's army. Thank You for them. Lord, help us to be encouraged. Lord, help us not to give up, to never, ever give up, to never, ever quit. Lord, just to keep pressing forward, pressing to the mark of the high calling. Lord, pressing for that eternal reward where we will go to spend eternity with You in heaven when this life on this earth is past. Father, if there's one here that's not ready, that's never made that decision, never accepted Christ as their Savior, let Him come Lord of their life. I pray right now as the Holy Spirit deals with that person, that they will respond accepting Jesus and allowing Him to have control of their life to make them a brand new person from this day forward. And we'll love You for all of it and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. The song says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." That's the way we come. We can't get ourselves cleaned up. We can't get ready. We can't get good enough. We come just like we are and say, "God, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of forgiveness and salvation. And I come repenting of my sins and accepting You to be my Savior." Are you in the Lord's army? If you're not, He wants you today. He'll bless you. The benefits of serving in the Lord's army are out of this world. You'll never be sorry if you join His army. Anyone, any need, before we close, if you have a need, I'll be glad to pray with you. Salvation, recommitment, anything else God's dealing with you about, just slip out. Come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. We'll confess it to God. Okay? Anybody. Quickly.